Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Monday, November 4th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson, and what a 48 hours or 72 hours it has been for the Sixers. Appreciate you starting your week with me, as we do every week, week three of the NBA season so far. Make sure you're following me at Jimmy J on Twitter, at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter. If this weekend has taught you anything, make sure you are following us and keeping up to date on everything going down with the Sixers in and around this season. Trust me, we are going to get to everything and address everything we need to in this pod. But before we do, it's not only a game day, but it's a Monday. So you know we have to set the week and we have to go through the rundown of this morning pod. So I'll go through the schedule. I'll set the week. I'll go through scores around the league of teams that have to do with the Sixers, injury news, regular news. And then on the other side of the break, we get into some analysis, the three things to watch for as it is a game day. And let's go through that schedule. Let's set the week on this Monday. So it's a busy week for the Sixers. They start the West Coast road trip tonight in Phoenix at the Phoenix Suns at 10:15. And it's a pretty good, pretty quality West Coast road trip this week for the Sixers. They play some pretty high quality teams in this road trip. Tonight is against the Suns at 10:15. Wednesday, they go to the Clippers, play at 10 p.m. At the Clippers. They stay in L.A. and play the Lakers at 10 p.m. And then Sunday, they come back home and play the Hornets at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. So today, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, four games in 6 days, that is. It's a good amount of basketball for the Sixers. And Wednesday's really interesting. It's the first time they play in that Intuit Dome, that new arena for the Clippers. They play against that wall that even Kevin Durant said is pretty effective and it's pretty interesting and more teams should adopt it. The first time the Sixers get to see it, can't wait to see it. But it starts tonight in Phoenix, in the desert, against KD, Book, Brad Beal, and the Phoenix Suns. We'll get to that matchup a little bit later. Scores from around the league for teams that have to do with the Sixers. Last night or yesterday, only one team in attendance, again, or one team in action. It was the Nets. They fall to the Pistons, 106-92. Pistons, you know, in good form after beating the Sixers and now beating the Nets. Toby had himself a little bit of a game, 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists in the game. Cam Johnson was the person who led all scores with 26 points, but it wasn't enough. Brooklyn falls to the Pistons. They're now 3-4, third in the Atlantic Division. The Sixers, of course, are last in the Atlantic Division, looking to turn that around. But a lot of teams in action, especially in the Atlantic Division and the Eastern Conference tonight, along with the Sixers. So tomorrow I'll have an update of some more teams and how teams are doing around the league. And we get now to some injury news and injury updates. And oh, does it feel good to have a good injury update and some good injury news for a change, man. Paul George is expected to make his Sixers regular season debut tonight in Phoenix. Expected is the word, is the word to emphasize, right? It's not official, but it is expected. That's reported by Shams Charania of ESPN. He's currently listed right now as questionable, but the team expects him to be ready to play barring any setbacks. Knock on wood, y'all. Wherever you are, just knock on wood, throw some salt over your shoulder, do whatever you got to do. Do not want to jinx any setbacks for Paul George. Hopefully, he is good to go tonight against the Phoenix Suns. That's the latest report as of Sunday when Shams put that out. The Sixers love to kind of leak news and drop news in the middle of Eagles games, right? Hilarious. It was like 4 or 5 p.m. when they dropped this news. They want everyone to be paying attention to the birds when this stuff drops. But it's good news. So I want everyone to be aware of it, but let's not get our hopes too high until we see him as a go for tonight against the Suns. Let's see. The Suns injury report is currently just Brad Beal. Bradley Beal is the only one on the Suns injury report. He's listed as day-to-day with an elbow injury. Is currently questionable for tonight. He's been in and out of the lineup for the Suns, missing two of the last four games. He did play in the last game, though, a win against Portland. He had 15 points. So if the pattern continues, we may see him sit against the Sixers unless that elbow is feeling better, at which he'll go. But Brad Beal has been kind of in and out of the lineup for the Phoenix Suns. All right. I know you guys are thinking it's time. You guys are thinking, James, I know this is all good. Thank you for the updates and thank you for the housekeeping items. But some big news happened over the weekend and we would love for you to update us on what happened. I got y'all. I understand. It's the big news, the talk of the town. Joel Embiid did get into a physical altercation after the Grizzlies game on Saturday night in the locker room. So I'm sure you guys have heard the context and the kind of the story around it, but I just want to give, you know, kind of the full story before I, you know, kind of give my small opinion. I don't want to talk too much about it, but my small opinion on what happened. So for context, a column written by Marcus Hayes of the Philadelphia Inquirer mentioned Joel Embiid's late brother and son when addressing his play this season, or I guess lack thereof, for him not being on the court at all for the Sixers during the regular season. Joel Embiid took exception to these comments. You heard his comments at his press conference the first time he addressed the media in the regular season for the Sixers on Friday when he was talking. Joel Embiid, when he said, you know, he's done way too much for the city to be treated like this. Those comments and all of what he said, that was in reference to this column that Marcus Hayes wrote. So it was clear that Embiid was not happy with the words Marcus Hayes wrote in the article for the Philadelphia Inquirer. If you guys want the full story, I encourage you to go, you know, read the full column, so you guys understand, you know, exactly, you know, the words and the verbiage that Embiid took and Embiid wrote. That he took exception to. So when it came to Saturday night, Embiid apparently saw Marcus in the locker room and went to confront him about this article, about the words that he spoke. This led to, or words that he wrote, I should say, this led to, you know, a colorful exchange of words back and forth between Marcus Hayes and Joel Embiid, then led to Embiid shoving Marcus Hayes. I don't know if he shoved him to the ground or where he shoved him, but we know that he did, you know, put his hands and push Marcus Hayes. You know, teammates and personnel of the Sixers then gathered to kind of break up the scrum and do what they could to separate Embiid from Marcus Hayes. Then stadium security was then called and the altercation was dispersed from there. There were some reports that Embiid left the arena in handcuffs. I just want to clarify that there are no clear reports that he left in handcuffs or was escorted out by police or security or anything like that. I don't want to confirm those reports because from what I've seen, there's nothing that we can confirm that happened. But we do know that physical altercation did happen between Embiid and Marcus Hayes, and then it was broken up, you know, shortly before anything too crazy happened after that. So that is what happened. That is the event that took place after, you know, the Sixers' disappointing loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. And the NBA did, you know, notify the Sixers and everybody that they were in contact with the 76ers and personnel there. They have launched an investigation for themselves, and we'll see, you know, if anything happens, if anything comes down, any punishment comes down from Joel Embiid from the NBA. And because of that, because of the situation, oh, I don't want to speak too much about it. It is a delicate situation, but I will say this. I'm not sure if there's ever a reason to justify bringing up somebody's family, especially, you know, past, rest in peace, you know, deceased family, when trying to make a point about someone's play or just trying to make a point in general. But especially in this case, I do think, and I know, that it was unnecessary. Marcus could have made his point in that article, in that column, without bringing up any of Joel Embiid's family members, for that matter. You know, am I saying that Embiid was right to put hands on him? I'm not. Joel Embiid is a 7 foot, you know, 7 foot one center. Him putting his hands on any, you know, regular civilian is, you know, he's much bigger than the average person. That's really dangerous. So I don't advocate for him doing it at all. But a line was crossed. And we also don't know exactly what was said in that verbal exchange between Embiid and Marcus Hayes in that. So, you know, I want to leave that alone too, but a line was clearly crossed and you know, Joel Embiid, you know, took very much exception to what Marcus Hayes said. And the only thing I'll add to that is I did see the Sixers fan base kind of wrap their arms around Joel Embiid in this case, you know, from, you know, even with other media members or fans on social media, online, come to defend the All-Star Center and the MVP Center. And for what it's worth, after the weeks that this team has had to start the season, the turmoil, the drama, the disappointment, and what the team and the city has gone through, everyone could use a reason to band together. Everyone could use a reason to have a rallying moment, a unification moment, a moment where it's us against them, whoever them is. This team, this city, this fan base really could have used a moment like that. It's never good when someone feels very offended, you know, when someone mentions their family. But this moment was bigger than basketball. And the fact that we saw the fan base, you know, we saw the Sixers brass and everyone around and everyone who supports Joel Embiid come together and defend him, I thought that was good to see. And hopefully that can be some kind of turning point and good vibes for this team going forward. Because there wasn't much to point to where everyone can come and say, you know, we're all in support of Joel Embiid on this particular moment. And I think we saw that, for better or for worse. I think we saw that. And I hope just something good can come out of that in particular facet of this unfortunate incident. So that's all I will say. I'm going to take a break. On the other side of this break, we get into some analysis on this matchup with the Phoenix Suns. It's my three things to watch for, and PG's back. So there's a lot to watch for. Stay tuned.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, y'all. On this game day, we on the West Coast. It's your man, James Jackson. Thank you for starting your week with me, and clap your hands. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at JimmyJ23, at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter, as we head out west to the desert to take on the Phoenix Suns. And that brings me to my three things to watch for as we take on the Phoenix Suns. The number one, first and foremost, Paul George. I mean, it really doesn't get much more simple than that, right? Like, Paul George. At this point, I'm watching Paul George in all aspects tonight, because he can help in so many ways. If this was the beginning of the season, if this was game one, I probably would have very, very specific things I'm watching of what Paul George could do based on what we saw preseason. We saw one game and one quarter of preseason, and we've had five regular season games. So at this point, I'm just, what can Paul George do to help the Sixers? And I can look for it on both sides of the ball, right? Offensively, I'm looking for him to provide that significant help to Maxey. And we can say it in the scoring department, right? Because, you know, Maxey can be second in the league in scoring all he wants. We know, we can see that he needs help and he needs some of that pressure alleviated from him on the offensive end to help the Sixers, you know, really just get on the other side of these games, help them get in the win column for sure. And I'm also looking to see how he changes the starting lineup, right? My guess is they move Kyle Lowry back to the bench, move Maxey back to the point guard, and let PG operate on the wing. I know Maxey, or I don't know, but it seems that Maxey's not the most comfortable at the head point guard position. But I do think it provides the best just amount of floor spacing and makes the most sense if you're going to put Paul George then on the wing. The other option to me would be moving Caleb Martin back to the bench. But like I said, I just think this provides a little bit better spacing, the first option provides a little bit better spacing than doing this. We'll see what Nick Nurse does. Someone's got to go to the bench, right? Like, someone cannot stay in the starting lineup because Paul George, if he returns tonight, will be starting. But, you know, we'll see who that is. But on the defensive end, you know, he's really going to be able to help too, especially in this game, right? The Suns score from their wings. And I would like to say they score in other ways, but it really comes down to that. You got three elite scorers on the wings, KD, Book, and Brad Beal. Call them mid-range merchants because they operate in the mid-range and are three of the best to do it in the NBA. And Paul George is going to spend all night most likely matched up with one of these three guys, if not spending time on each one of them throughout the course of the game. Right? He's going to see time on KD, Brad Beal, maybe even Booker, depending on where he matches up. But Paul George is going to defend on the wing. In his heyday, in his prime, I talked about it many moons ago, about him being one of the best wing defenders, especially on ball in the NBA. While he may not be there, he's still very, very formidable on the defensive end. And we'll see if he can provide, you know, a lot of impact and a lot of help in that way. We've talked about the Sixers' struggles offensively a lot to start the season, and there have been many. But if... especially last game and in the last two even, have taught us anything, their defense has been just as bad. Hopefully Paul George can come and help that. Hopefully Paul George can just come and help, man. This is all depending on if Paul George goes tonight, but if he does, those are the things I'm looking for in his Sixers debut. The second thing I'm watching for in the Sixers matchup tonight against the Suns is that fourth quarter scoring, right? The Suns do come into this game rolling. I do want to highlight that. Winners of four straight, but I do think they may be due to drop one, and here's why I say that. They just played the Portland Trailblazers, possibly the worst team in the NBA, and nearly blew a 26-point fourth-quarter lead, right? They were up 26 at one point, and then at one point in the fourth quarter, they were only up two. And then it took a Devin Booker surge and a Devin Booker kind of takeover, you know, to stave off that late comeback from the Blazers. But they scored just 16 points in the fourth quarter compared to 44 points in the third. They had a third quarter barrage, which I hope doesn't happen tonight, but they only had 16 in that final frame. Last season, the fourth quarter scoring plagued the Suns all season. It was a little inexplicable how a team with KD, Book, and Brad Beal could be so bad at closing games and finishing games. I know they were injury riddled all season last year. Those three didn't spend a whole lot of time playing together, but still, even two of the three should be able to close out these games if you're winning. And their fourth quarter scoring was just abysmal. It was really the reason the Wolves were able to get them up out of here in the playoffs last year so easily. Like, their fourth quarter scoring was bad. For all the deficiencies the Sixers have, especially on the offensive end, they actually ranked top 10 in fourth quarter scoring this season. Right? They're actually in the upper echelon in fourth quarter scoring. Now, to be fair, Phoenix is still 12th in that category this season. They're not bad at that point this season. But last game showed me they can get back to their old ways at any moment. Last game showed me that they can be the Phoenix Suns that we know of last year at any point if you put that pressure on them, right? So even if the Sixers find themselves down big in this one, don't count them out, and I don't want to count themselves out. We've seen the Sixers get down and, you know, start to get, you know, a little sorry for themselves, right? Start to go down themselves on the court. The Pacers game was a good kind of indication of them being able to battle through. It was on the back of Tyrese Maxey, but able to battle through a deficit and come back and win. So if the Sixers can keep this even close or even be up going into the final frame, it may be even a dub. But at the very least, they put themselves in a position to win the game if they do so. So let's see if the Sixers can take advantage of another team's weakness, you know, for a change and get on top of them in the fourth quarter. I want to see good fourth quarter scoring from the Sixers. The last thing I'm looking for, and this is probably the first time I'm looking for it, but this is something that if I don't see it just in this game, I won't be too discouraged, because it's something that's going to have to play out as the season goes. But it's going to be in the role players now that Paul George is back. Right, I know we like to focus on the stars and what Paul George is going to do and Tyrese Maxey is going to do with everything. But with PG back, this should be a sigh of relief for the role players as well. Maybe even especially for the role players. Because if PG comes in and produces, and his one full game with the Sixers against the Timberwolves in the preseason showed us that he still got it and he can, then that production that we're getting from the others should start to look more impactful, should start to mean a little bit more, right? We just take a look at the box score of the last game for the Sixers against the Memphis Grizzlies, right? We got some pretty good production. One, we got 5 players in double figures. Kelly Oubre had 14 points. Kyle Lowry had 10 points. Eric Gordon had 10 points. Jared McCain. I know a lot of that 19 was, you know, with the reserves playing, but he's seeing more and more minutes as the season goes on. Caleb Martin nearly had double digits with 9 points. Gorshon Yabusele nearly had double digits with 9 points. So if you now and go add 20 more points with Paul George in there, you get a Sixers win, or at the very least, you get them a very good chance of winning that game against the Grizzlies. Right? So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking for insert Paul George. And then if I get the same level of production that I've been getting, like we've been getting double digits from, you know, Eric Gordon, Kyle Lowry is a second double digit output. That 9 from Caleb Martin, that 9 from Gorshon Yabusele, it's what we can expect from them. That 14 from Kelly Oubre, that's even kind of down from what he's been giving us. But if he gives us that 14 consistently, that's good. We can work with that. That is the level of production now that if we can consistently get that from Kelly Oubre, that helps us. 14 without Paul George and Embiid don't really help. We need more. 14 with our stars, that's a great pocket for Kelly Oubre. So right now, these are two of the worst teams in the NBA in terms of bench production. But I'm not really talking about just the bench. I'm talking about starter role players as well, too. Sixers ranked 20th in bench production. The Suns ranked 23rd in bench scoring. So not top-tier teams in bench scoring, but like I said, starter role players as well. The Suns are very top-heavy, right? They kind of sold out to do so, right? So if I think the strategy should always be strength in numbers against this team. So let's see if the Sixers can go and do that. Those are my three things I'm watching for tonight as the Sixers take on the Phoenix Suns. Paul George and how he can alleviate pressure everywhere. That fourth quarter scoring and the role players. Let's keep up that level of production now that PG is there, and we'll start to see it look a little bit more impactful. Appreciate you starting your week with me. As always, let's win a win tonight against the Phoenix Suns. But until tomorrow, I'll see everyone in 24 hours.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, Get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.